You have tuned in to Debt Free Wealth Radio with Trudy Behrman. Now, tonight's show is not our usual production, but really, this is a facilitation for those who sign up for a program that I created called Creating Your 2016 Business Blueprint. And these people have actually paid for access to a download that we will be referencing very often here. Now, a link to that download is in this show description. So feel free to just go ahead and listen in. You can always follow up later by opting in so you too can not only access that download, but schedule your one-on-one chat with me. So having heard tonight's show, you can schedule your chat to fine-tune your 2016 blueprint. So again, welcome. Thank you for joining me. Now, it will be 2016 in just a couple of hours from recording. And if you've ever tried to get to an unknown destination without a map, then you have a good idea of what it would be like to navigate this upcoming year to a successful outcome. But if you had a paper map versus a GPS system, you would also have an appreciation for how certain tools are more effective at getting a job done than others are. So for those of you who have chosen to join me on this journey and you have completed your blueprint, I know that you know as well that you have already taken a huge step to ensuring that you have some kind of game plan for the upcoming year. Now, I can already see a couple people in the Facebook chat area, so I want to welcome Sonia, Austin, Sandra, welcome Francis, Greg, Kim, Andrew, welcome. Now, I will be monitoring the chat area for questions and comments, but if anyone does want to call in to participate that way, the number is 323-417-6775. So again, we're talking about creating your 2016 business blueprint. Now, I like my shows to be evergreen. So, you know, maybe you're listening to this later on in the year or maybe next year, whatever, that's fine. The principles I'm sharing here are still going to be valid, but for right now, we're looking at 2016. That's what's up ahead. And we're going to just go ahead and jump right in. Let me just pop over here. All right. So like I said, I see a couple of people in chat. I just want to let you know that I will be going from various screens. So give me a moment to just adjust and check in and see, you know, if anyone has questions and everything. I will try to get around to all of that. Okay, so if you have your download, I hope you've printed it out, and I hope you've made some attempt at filling it up. Now, again, we're just going to go through the whole blueprint tonight in a somewhat generic way just to help you actually take action, because sometimes some of us are guilty of, you know, saying we're going to get around to something. We actually will even go as far as downloading it but not actually taking action. We make a mental note, but we don't actually take the action steps. So if you haven't already done it, just go along with me. Don't try to be neat. Don't try to edit yourself. Don't try to make it nice and pretty. If you have that printout, just make quick jot notes. If you don't have the printout, have a clean sheet of paper. Maybe make a reference to the number of the question we're talking to. And then when you get your blueprint, you can go back to that or even clean it up later as you maybe, you know, dump it into Word and type it in so you have a nice clean copy as you go forward. So on the blueprint, the very first thing that I had there was find a go-to point, In map talk, it would be like your true north. You know, when we're going on a journey, the GPS system, it works off of this navigation system. There has to be a strong, unmovable reference point. And that is how we know where we are in relation to where we were. So we want to have this strong go-to point because it is going to be our true north, so to speak. Now, as an example, I suggested a Bible verse or verses. Not everyone participating in this is Christian or maybe even have a faith. I do. I'm unapologetic Christian. So, you know, and most of my audience that, you know, finds what I do of interest and relevance to them usually are as well, or at least are not offended by Christian content. So one of the first things I suggested is to find a Bible verse or verses. I find the Word of God to be a solid, solid starting place, a rock for everything that I do. So it's going to be my first go-to to suggest to you guys as well. You can also use a quote or quote, something that I suggest, something that speaks to your weakness, or something that gives you encouragement in a particular area, or something that captures the end result you're looking for in a very powerful way. This is the go-to. It's like I said, your true north. And it's very important because as you move through this journey, there's going to be distractions, noise. Think of it as winds pulling at you. And so I want you to think of this go-to point, this true north, almost like your verbal or a graphic stress ball. This is where you're going to come back to when the going feels like it's getting tough. Okay? Now, in the download, I gave you some examples. Just to give you an idea, to get you thinking, you know, I'm not, you can freely take these, by all means. If these speak to you, by all means, go ahead and use these. But if you are digging into your Bible, maybe somewhere along the line there has been a couple verses that have spoken to you personally and you want to grab and hold on to those. A really, really good, powerful one is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a super one. If you don't have one, this is a great one to rock onto because it is going to speak to a lot of our areas of weakness. It is going to crush a lot of impossibilities. It is going to level mountains because there will be really no thing that you can't get through when you have God strengthening you. So this is a good one if you don't have a personal one as well already. Like I said, you can also have a quote. One of the ones that I love is from Zig Ziglar, and if you have the download, you'll see that I have a picture there for you, but that quote says, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. This is a great value position if you're in business. You know, we're in business to serve others. You're not going to make a sale. You're not going to have anyone sign up. You're not going to have anybody wanting to do business with you if you don't have something that they want, if you don't solve a problem that they need a solution to. And if you help enough people get what they want, you'll find that in return, you are going to get what you want. So that's a great one if you don't have one. I left some space for you to brain dump your ideas. Again, this is not the time to edit yourself, to make it pretty. Just go ahead and make jotting notes. You know, maybe on the call that you have with me, we can refine that later, whatever. If you are looking at URLs, for example, that you want to get these things later on, that will be a great point. Later on, we're going to talk about vision boards. And so just keep that in mind. I'll get around to that. All right. Now, I'm willing to share my own pieces of this blueprint with you. I don't want to make this call or this session about me. So I'm going to share them with you just from a point of view of an additional example, okay? And I don't want you to write mine down because these are mine, but maybe it will help you as to get an example. I have done mine. This is something I always do. I've got to have my blueprint so that as I start working through my year, it's going to help me define my actions, my activities, the tasks, the things that are going to, you know, they're going to help me figure out what is a distraction versus what really fits into the game plan. All right, so really quickly, I do have a personal verse as well as a one for my business. And really, I really don't see too much of a difference between the two guys because as a Christian, I show up as me. I don't have a compartmentalization of who I am versus who I am in my business. I show up wherever I go. I am who I am wherever I go. So my personal verse for the year, for me personally, is John 15:8. And it says, this portion of it says, "This is how my Father is glorified, in your bearing much fruit. This is how you will prove to be my disciple." Now, this is very interesting because last year, or I shouldn't say last year, the year in the year 2015, my go-to word, I had a word as well, was proof. It was proof. And so I was all about proof. And so this actually, it's not really surprising that I've selected this as my personal verse. "This is how my Father is glorified, in your bearing much fruit. This is how you will prove to be my disciples." Guys, a lot of people are talking, saying, "I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a Christian, I'm a whatever." It's all fine and well to talk and to say, but fruit. You're going to bear fruit. If you bear fruit, there's no arguing it's an orange tree when orange fruit shows up on the tree, okay? So I'm all about proof, not just about talk. So this is my personal verse, but I really think it's spilling into my business as well. Now, my business verse, though, really is Matthew 25:20. It actually is very crucial to even my whole, my business is Proactive Stewardship, Inc. This one speaks to the core of what we do. Matthew 25:20, it says, "Though the one who had received 5 talents came forward bringing the other 5 and said, 'Sir, you gave me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 more. Guys, you know, God has put a lot of things under our control, and it is our, I truly believe we're under a mandate to be profitable. We don't want to hear wicked, lazy servant. We want to be like the one who had the 5 talents and brought 5 more. Okay? So we're here at Profitable Stewardship, Inc. This is a core verse. It is about the Christian income earner being aware of stewardship principles and being able to be profitable in the process. So like I said, in the year 2015, my word was proof, not prove, proof, because I was focused on collecting proof, testimonials, screenshots. It was good that I had done that because having that word proof, again, you remember we're talking about that go-to, that true north, it helped me because I was way more vigilant about tracking and my analytics than ever before, just because I had that word proof. I was more aware because of that word what was working for me, what was not, and where my efforts and money were bringing me the best return on my investment. So my word for 2015 was proof. But my year, my word going into 2016 is relevant, with the question sign relevant. That is going to be my focus word for 2016. I need to make sure that whatever I'm about is relevant to everything that I've decided is going to be on my plate. So that's going to help me screen out, diffuse out, filter out all the distractions, all the noise, and keep me focused not only on what is relevant to what I'm doing, but also relevant to you guys. It's going to help me stay away from rabbit trails, keep me focused, and moving in the direction of my blueprint. Okay? Number 2 on the download was to write out your mission statement. So remember, number 1 is we want to have your go-to point or your true north. Number 2 is we want to write out our mission statement. Now, in a nutshell, a mission statement is a 1 or 2 sentence statement describing the reason an organization or program exists. In other words, why the heck are you in business? Why are you doing what you do? That is your mission statement. You can also have a personal mission statement, but today we're really focusing in on your business. And now if you already have a mission statement, companies don't necessarily change mission statements every year, okay? They might, but you may have a corporate mission statement. If you already have one, there's no need to change it. Simply write it down in this space and remind yourself of the mission, because, guys, it is so easy to get distracted by the noise. Somebody's immediate, urgent, you know, has you being distracted. I can give you a really great example. On my way from the bedroom to the kitchen, I was going to the kitchen to say, get a cup of coffee. But on the way from the bedroom to the kitchen, I saw my glasses. I was like, oh, yeah, I need to put those on my desk. When I got to my desk, I saw the bills. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to pay that bill. You know, 15 minutes later, I had not yet made the coffee. These kinds of things can happen. So if you have already a mission statement, write it here. Remind yourself of what it is. Now, if it needs to change, change it. If it needs to be updated, update it. If it needs to be revised, now is the time to do so. If you don't have one at all, now is the time to draft your mission statement. All right, so I was just checking the chat area. Okay, I gave some examples in the download. So the mission statement for the Wounded Warrior Project was, remember, it's a one or two sentence statement that describes why your organization exists. And I'm just kind of, if you have the download, this will sound redundant, but for those who are just listening in, you don't have the download in front of you, you're going to get it later. The example from the Wounded Warrior Project was to honor and empower wounded warriors. That's why they exist, to honor and empower wounded warriors. The ASPCA, their mission statement is to provide effective means for the prevention of cruelty to animals throughout the United States. Now, again, I left the space for you to brain dump your mission statement. This is not the time to refine it. This is not the time to make it pretty. Just start jotting your notes. We can fix it later. Just jot the notes here. Now, again, I'm going to share mine with you just as a quick example. So my mission statement is to move Christian income earners to become profitable stewards who enjoy debt-free wealth. Now, this is important. I'm differentiating myself. I'm telling you who my target market is. I'm telling you the outcome, okay? Now, there are other gurus in this space. And if I name them, you'll know who they are. I'm not going to name them. But some of them are focusing in on just the debt-free part of it. I am not just focused on the debt-free part of things, guys, because I truly believe that the more money you have, is the quicker that the debt will go away. And also, it moves us to a place of radical generosity. So it's not just being debt-free, and it's not just being wealthy, because there are a lot of people who have access to money, but it's by sliding a black card or because they have, you know, a really big loan from the bank, and so they have a lot of cash flow access, but that is burdened wealth. So it's really just... It has anchors, right? So we want debt-free wealth. But stewardship is kind of like a Bible jargon. Again, if you're not Christian, sorry, that's who I am. It comes with the territory. Stewardship is a word used a lot in Christendom, and it really is just another way of saying manager. Okay, God has put stuff in our hands, and I love the example of the analogy of the singer. So say, for example, three people have a singing talent. We're not going to say whose is better than the other. We're just saying all three have a singing talent. But this one sings in the shower. The only person who benefits from that is themselves. The second one, they sing in a small group, maybe at church, whatever, and they bless a couple people. The third one takes that talent. Maybe they get a singing coach. They work really, really hard. They've been on several stages, they keep cutting records, they work really, really hard, they pound the pavement, they do the marketing, whatever. The next thing you know, they have a best-selling, you know, top number one record, okay? Now, the one who was singing to themselves in the shower dies and goes back to heaven and says, here, God, here's the talent you gave. gave me, right back as you gave it to me. This is coming right out of Matthew 25. Too many of us are going into the grave back the same way we came, with the talent that God gave us unused, okay? And there are some of us who are blessing some people, and that's fine. But then there are some of us who are putting in the work, like Matthew 25, verse 20, which is our core verse that says, the one who had received five talents came forward bringing the other five and said, sir, you gave me five talents. Here I have made five more. We don't want to hear wicked, lazy servants. Now, I don't know if you've got one, if you got two, or if you got five. The point, though, is that you want to, well, the point for Profitable Stewardship, Inc. is to help move Christian income earners to become profitable stewards who enjoy debt-free wealth. Now, oh, okay, Sandra has just sent me in chat her vision statement. She's asking for my opinion on it. Sandra, honey, I will be happy to go over this with you in detail in the follow-up private call, okay? Every one of us, every one of you who have signed up had the opportunity to connect with me after this show, and there is a link in the show page or in the email system I sent you how to connect with me and schedule that chat, and we'll go over your notes one-on-one, help you fine-tune it, help you brainstorm some more if needs be. So simply go ahead, schedule that, and I will help you with that. Okay, number three, moving right along, was to write your vision statement. Write your vision statement. The vision statement is a little bit different from your mission statement. The mission statement is, why does your company exist? Now, they are related, but they're a little bit different. The vision is really the end goal or the desired outcome. So a good vision statement is going to be clear and inspirational. All right, and it's something that you're constantly aspiring for. It may make you say you want to reach to the moon, and maybe you only hit, you know, the treetop. So the point is, it's this big, huge, humongous thing that you're reaching for. I'm going to encourage you to, whatever you have, 10x it. I'm going to tell you why. When you have a vision, you know, that you think is realistic and within reach, I don't think we put out as much effort. Because when we believe something is doable, reachable, reasonable, that's why I don't really like SMART goals. You know, SMART goals are specific, achievable. Now, I'm going to encourage you to make big, humongous goals, goals that probably need God to help them come through, okay? Because when they are that big, you are going to rely on God. Not only that, you're also going to make bigger effort, because when you feel something is beyond yourself, you will be stretched to make bigger effort. But if you think something's easy, it's like the story of the turtle and the hare. And the hare figured, oh, this is a breeze, and waited till the last minute. But the turtle, who knew this was a job ahead of him, plowed on. When you think that vision is really, really big, you may not accomplish it in your lifetime, I really believe we will put more into it than if we simply, I can do that in easy, easy. So you want to have a really big vision. I'm going to encourage you to. This is where a vision board really comes handy, okay? In some places where I promoted this, I call this a vision board party. The thing about vision boards, to me, I really believe that, you know, if you take a thought, it's like, think of a designer, okay, and they have an idea in their head, they sketch it out on paper, and the next thing you know, textile is being bought, fabric, material, whatever, or if it's an architect, they have an idea, they draw it out, and then all of a sudden a building is being built. It's where we pull the thought into reality, where we take something that is imagined and we make it through a process become real, okay? So we have to pull that vision into reality. And this is where a vision board becomes very helpful. Now, I'm not one for cutting pictures out of a magazine. That's time-wasting. By the time you find the magazines that have the exact picture you want, just Google it, find the picture, find the diagram. That will help. I really think it really helps. Now, for example, some people have gone to, if they wanted a BMW, for example, instead of just putting a picture of a BMW, freaking go to the BMW dealership and take a picture of yourself in the car and put that picture up. Now, the thing for me, though, guys, is that that's great. Nothing wrong with that. I honestly think, though, that having is different from being. So we want to be to have and not have to be. What do I mean by that? Stuff will never make us happy. Stuff really will never make us happy. It might give us a momentary thing, but even if you think about it, that thing is not, when you have a moment of happiness from a purchase, it's not necessarily the thing that made you happy. It's a problem it solved. You know, if you get a new computer, the computer solved the problem. So the stuff itself doesn't make you happy. It's what it does for you. Okay, so stuff is, you really, what are you trying to become? You know, if you focus on who you are becoming, you will accumulate some things in the process. But if you focus on having stuff, you may accumulate stuff, but you may find it is all empty. I've seen so many people have regret purchases. They purchase something, and 2 minutes later they're complaining about the purchase, or they think it was a waste of money or whatever. That is when you're focusing on stuff, when you're focusing on what you're going to become. An example is like this program. You know, I mean, if you focus on where this is going to take you, then it's not as much how much you pay for it as about where it's going to take you. Because the money is simply a tool to get you to an outcome. Money of itself has no other power except what it can do for you. So I encourage you to be to have, not have to be. So that vision board can have icons on it, like cars and homes, that's all fine and well. But my vision board tends to have things that about who I'm trying to become, not stuff I'm trying to get. So my vision board on the show page for today, I'm not sure that I included it in the download, but if you're on, in all my communication, I've shared this show page with you today, this call link. There will be a link to my Pinterest board. Now, let me tell you something about that again. Again, I use the internet to search for stuff. It's much easier to grab a picture, an icon, to help you visualize and pull from your imagination something that you can look on, which helps you be more focused. The other thing, though, is that if you just keep it on something like Pinterest, it's going to be out of sight, out of mind. So I also print these things off. I have it in very visible on my vision board is also the screenshot or the backdrop of my computer screen. So I keep this stuff directly in front of me. So if you're interested, you can go take a peek at that. I'm not sure that I'll add anything more. But I think it's pretty complete as it is, but who knows? I may add something more. Okay, so back to vision statement. I put some examples there if you're just listening in. Habitat for Humanity's vision statement is, remember, it's an end result, and their vision statement is a world where everyone has a decent place to live. Remember, a vision statement is a one- or two-sentence statement that captures the desired outcome. It's clear, and it's inspirational. I really think Habitat for Humanity did that, and they did that with very few words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words is Habitat Humanity's single sentence vision statement. The Cleveland Clinic, my mother's been there, their vision statement is to be the world's leader in patient experience, clinical outcomes, research, and education. Again, I put a space for you to just brain dump some ideas. You can refine that later. Boy, all this talk is making me pretty thirsty. Okay. Now, if you're interested, my vision statement really quickly is to be the alternative compass to Christian income earners in the space of stewardship or of all resources, taking them beyond just being debt-free to having wealth to the point of radical generosity. So that's mine, okay? Again, because I'm identifying my outcome for those that I serve. All right. Now, getting to the almost to the end here. Number four is to decide the values that drive your operation. Now, this piece is key, especially if you have others working with you or for you, or even worse, independent contractors that come in from time to time. Value statements will allow someone, when they're representing you, to know if something is a match or if it's something you're likely to agree with because it matches what you stand for, okay? So a value statement declares what you believe in and hold to be true. They're guiding principles, and you can have value statements for how you handle customers. You can have separate value statements for how you handle employees and so on. A lot of people skip this step, but it truly, truly is important. Because without values, you can still achieve the desired end result, but it may not be through a process that you endorse. Okay, the example I gave in the download was, if your desired outcome is to be a millionaire, then what's to stop you from doing that through criminal activity? If you have values that say we're going to be a company of integrity, then when you're presented with a deal that has something shady to it, you're going to reject it no matter how much money it potentially can bring you because it does not match your value system, okay? So that is why value systems are important. And when you have an employee who is going to make a decision for you, if they're presented with that opportunity and they're going to say, no, you know, that doesn't match our values. So this is very, very important. I'm going to read Zappos.com really quickly because Build-A-Bear has a really good one. But I'm going to, you know, for the interest of time, if you've downloaded this thing, you'll see it. I like Zappos. They have 10 really quick core values. Number one is to deliver wow through service. If you know anything about Zappos, they're an online shoe company, and they have literally come in as a no-name company and taken over. They are now the leaders in shoe sales space. And it really was because of their number one core value. They were focused on delivering wow service. And that value system alone was communicated to their employees. And every employee had to be on the same page. So when they interface with a customer or through it's fed through even to their autoresponder system, all the communications to their customers was built with this value statement, this number one, deliver wow through service. They had another couple of them there, do more with less. Now, do more with less is an interesting one because, you know, I'm in this personal finance space, and guys, it's not always about cutting costs because you want to cut costs and be cheap and stingy. No, sometimes it's about being more effective. And a good example is like when our cell phones got smaller and smaller and smaller and did more and more and more. So do more with less does not always mean cutting costs and being stingy and, you know, that kind of thing. It just might mean being more effective, all right? And another one they had in there was to be humble. Now, this is important, especially when you get to be a big, powerful company like Zappos. If you can keep in your value system to remain humble, then, wow, that says a lot. Again, I gave you space to brain dump your value statements. If you're using a clean sheet of paper and you're going to jump back to this later, this was statement number four. And so I'll just tell you mine real quick. I have four values that I operate from. Number one, we will aggressively pursue all available ways to reach Christian income earners and expand the reach of this message. Number two, we will constantly explore the Bible for practical, relevant teaching opportunities in the realm of stewardship. Number three, we will remain relevant in our style, technology, and approach while retaining integrity in our message and methods. And number four, and most important, I have to say, we will be examples of everything we teach, transparently sharing challenges and triumphs of the journey to profitable stewardship. Profitable stewardship, I'm not really sure that I will truly ever be able to accomplish that in its true form before I die, but I really think every single day I'm going to get much, 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 much closer. You know, to say that, you know, if God gave me two, I'm going to bring back two more, maybe I'll bring back one and a half more, or maybe I'll add one more. So instead of two, now I have three, because this is a journey. You know, I mean, I have another teaching where I talked about the sower and the seeds. If you think about it, guys, the sower went around sowing seeds, and of the four different grounds that he threw seeds on, It was the fourth ground. So he went through four different grounds. Remember, the rocky, the ground that had weeds, the ground that had thorns. I mean, it was, so he was going along, and it wasn't until he reached ground number four that he had a harvest. So sometimes we'll be out there doing our thing, waiting for that profit or that harvest to come in, but we still got to keep going, right? We got to keep going. But I promise you to be transparent in those challenges that it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to always be perfect. I'm not going to always have a celebration. There will be times when I will fail and fail miserably, but I think epic fails are really just another learning experience, and it shows me, you know, where not to go and what to tighten up and so forth. So I will share those challenges. I will share the triumphs as I am also on my own journey towards profitable stewardship. Number five, okay, and this is where I almost had to end, like I said. Determine your core product, program, service. Now, for some of you, this should be pretty clear, all right? If you already own a supermarket, for example, you know what you're doing, right? You know what your product line is. So for some of you, this should be pretty clear. But for some of you, it may not be so clear. Or even if it's clear to you, it's not really clear to others, because some of us entrepreneurs are involved in many things. And so Auntie Susie, the last time she saw you were doing this, the next time she sees you, you're doing that. And as far as she's concerned, you're all over the place. So it may be clear to you, but it's not clear to her. And so sometimes we want to be very clear in our message to the public, because this is all about our branding. Now, that is a whole other course, a whole other direction, a whole other package. But in a nutshell, you want to be sure that your brand is very clear, not only clear to you, but clear to those you hope to serve. Now, when it comes, if you're a new entrepreneur, be careful about shiny objects all over the place, okay? And if you are going, because, you know, we can't always have all our eggs in one basket, and you know, and sometimes you do need multiple streams of income, but there's a way to go about it, okay? There's a way to go about it. You should not really be chasing all these shiny objects. You cannot catch two rabbits going in two different directions at the same time. You have to pick one, zero in on that, get that well under your belt, and maybe when you get that all squared away and you hire employees or whatever, you can now shift your focus a little bit somewhere else. Or if you're going to add additional things to your income stream, that you're very clear about it being in alignment and in stream with what you're doing. So, for example, if you're a travel agent, for example, maybe, you know, to the public, they think you're offering general travel services, but you have a specific niche, maybe of guided group tours to historic locations, okay? That is your core product. So maybe on the front end, it looks like general services, but you are moving the clients, or you are seeking clients for a guided group tour to historic locations. If you're a life coach, for example, you know, it may seem, oh, a life coach is a life coach. No. If you have a core product, you're very aware of what your branding, who your message is, who your target audience is, then maybe you're a life coach who specializes in creating retreats for divorced women to help them recapture their identity, feel whole, and find new love. You know, if you try to be everything to everybody, you'll be nothing to anyone, right? So when you dominate your space, there is no need for competition. You are the go-to person. This has a lot to do with your brand, your reputation. Like I said, that's a whole other course, but I want you to at least be thinking about it. Network marketers are an interesting breed, okay, because a lot of network marketers, and I am a network marketer, it's one of my income streams, tend to be easily swayed to the shiny objects, right? Because a lot of times they're chasing the money. Guys, please, be about what you are about. Be very clear about what you're about. If you love cosmetics, I promise you there's a business opportunity for you, a turnkey, affordable business opportunity in cosmetics. You don't have to be just chasing money, or whichever is promising you the next dollar, you're off chasing that. Just, you still apply the same principle here. So if you are interested in cosmetics and you find yourself a cosmetic company that you like, fine, settle in and water the grass where you are. And let's say, for example, your core product, program, and service is to target cancer survivors and make them feel beautiful again. Okay, so yes, maybe a lot of people could use your service, but this is your core. And even if you have some front-end thing, you are funneling and channeling and looking for this specific group of people because this is your niche. This is where you serve. This is your brand. This is where you're going to be dominating and making your most of your money. Again, brain dump space here. You know, this may be an area we have a conversation about. Honestly, guys, this is not something I'm going to spend a whole lot of time. If you're not clear, we'll spend some time there, but this is something that is is its own animal. For me, for example, I'm actually creating a whole new core product because the stuff I have currently going on up to 2015, I'm finding are inadequate to help me accomplish my 2016 vision. They're there, and they'll still be there, and they're still good. But for the goals that I have for 2016, I actually have to create a new core product. And what it is I'm creating a curriculum that's going to have several media pieces to it, and it's going to be easy to use, a group format that others can adopt and continue this work that I'm doing in an expanding and ever-reaching impact. So I'm going to be building it out, not just for people to come to me for it, but I'm going to do it in such a way that others are going to be equipped, that they can pick it up and run with it and do their own groups where they are. Because my goal is to reach Christian income earners, as many as I can, wherever they are, and I can't do it all. So for me to accomplish this vision, I'm going to have to be very creative about how I reach that market, and I will need others to assist me get the message out. So that I have to build this new core product. So let's say, for example, your core product is a high-ticket product. Maybe you need a low-ticket entry to start your funnel, and that will upsell people. People want to do business with people that they know, okay? They want to do business with people that they know. So I remember this one particular coach, I had met him briefly, and he sent me this chat message about his high-ticket coaching program. I'm like, dude, I don't know you. I don't know if you have what I want. I don't know what you stand for. I've not seen any of your stuff. I need you to put some value-based stuff out there that I can't, you know, where's your website? Let me see what you're up to. Because that's how people operate. The statistics show that 57% of shoppers have already researched the item before they show up in your space. So when they come to your space, they may not be totally ready to buy, but they've done 57% of their research at some level. Maybe if you're a car dealer, they're coming to sit in the car and see if it really feels as good as it looks. You know, or maybe they have three options that they've narrowed down to. But the point is that when people come to you, they have done a measure of research, and you have to make that research possible. You have to put value out into space, freely available and at low cost, so that people can test the waters with you and see if you are someone they want to be involved with, you know, as simple as that. And, you know, as simple as that. I do a lot of things that I do are set up in such a way that if you are one of those A-gamers, you can take what I've given you and run with it. You probably don't even need me, and I celebrate that. But if you're one of those people who, you know, you're going to clean your house when you know you have guests coming over, or you're going to, you know, only fill your tank up when you're going on a trip, or you're only going to go to the gym because it's a new year, then you're probably someone who has an accountability issue. You can do it, but you're not necessarily doing it unless you have that external force, that external reason outside of yourself. So there are some people who need that. It's not about whether or not they know how to do it. They very much can. They just need that accountability. And there are some people who have no clue how to do it. They need to be shown how. And there are some people who have an idea, and they just need, you know, those, you know, instead of reinventing the wheel, they get shortcuts to the outcome. So there are lots of reasons why people will look for a new product, a new service, a new coach, because they're trying to solve a problem or shortcut their learning curve. It's as simple as that. Okay, so, all right, last, this is the last one, last but not least, yes. Once you have these five things in place, once you have your vision, your mission, your value statement, you know, all these things in place, you are now and ready to put your action plan in. There's no point trying to create an action plan if you don't have if you don't have these things in place, because it's like, you know, if you want to go to, I live in Tampa, Florida. If I wanted to go to Orlando to Disney World, that is my desired outcome, then the only things that belong on my map are direction items that help me get there. There's no point me having a task to go over to Busch Gardens, which is not in the direction nor the end result that I'm looking for. So once you have your mission statement, once you have your vision, you are now and only now ready to create your action plan. Okay, so this is where you begin to create tasks on your to-do list that are going to help you accomplish your vision and your mission. Now, if you have the mission, you have the vision, you know, I'm going to, there's another thing that I will suggest you do, and that's probably a conversation for another day, where you do these 90-day efforts. If you focus in on 90 days of really hard grind, I'm going to put, you will find that that momentum that you build, think of a bell curve, okay? You are, it's, or a rocket that you want to launch. You need a whole lot of propelling force up front. But once you get that thing lifted off, the level of effort to maintain that lift is much, much less. So once you have your mission and your vision, I'm going to encourage you the first 90 days of the year, really put in, get your team together and crush it. Talk to your spouse, talk to your families and say, listen, guys, I'll be kind of MIA for 90 days. Drive that effort, because once you have a really good launch, once you've really gotten a lot of key things in place, you'll find that you will have a much easier path for the rest of the year. I don't want to deviate from this, but I really want to throw this example in real quick. Multitasking is not all that, guys, honestly. If you have four tasks that you want to accomplish, okay, and each one takes 30 days, then you're looking at a 120-day window. But if you start Project A and, you know, you get, you know, there one or two in, and then you start Project B and you start Project C and you start Project D, guess what? It will take you all 120 days before any of them are done. If you focus in on Project A and just focusing on the full 30 days and got Project A completely done, then in the next 30-day window when you start Project B, Project A is done and probably earning you some money, okay? So you need to be very strategic, and you don't have any business putting an action plan together till you have a clear vision and mission of what it is you're trying to accomplish. So, for example, I told you I needed to recreate my core product for the goal that I have for 2016. It's going to include action plans like I'm going to write a new core manual. It's going to be a new book, which is going to be the manual for the program. If there will be a workbook to go along with it, there will be leadership video series that will go along with it, a devotional that will go along with it. To put it all together, I'm going to hold some leadership workshops so that those that I serve that will benefit from those workshops, and also leaders will emerge from those workshops and carry that on. Then I will also create affiliate opportunities for people who say, hey, this is a great idea, I don't want to get too deeply involved, but, you know, they'll make some money probably passing it on. I'm also going to promote much, much more in the media that reaches my target market. So these are some of the examples of things that will be on my action plan, because I have a clear vision and mission for what it is my 2016 is going to be all about. So we're at the end here now, guys. For those of you who are on with me, thank you very much. I didn't get any other questions coming in that I see in the chat. I apologize, I didn't really peek over at the chat too much, but I just did. I don't see any. But like I said, if you opted into this program, and if you're listening in later, you still can do that. Simply opt in. It's a very, very affordable price that I did, because, again, right at the start of the, well, if you're listening to this at the start of the new year, I really wanted to not only put some value out there, not only connect with some brand new people who have probably never ever connected with me before. But also, I wanted to give you zero excuses as to why you are not creating your blueprint for this upcoming year. This is the opportunity now for you to set your appointment, if you wish, to chat with me and help you refine your blueprint. Now, please do not call if you have a blank blueprint. I have no time for that, okay? If you're calling, you have figured out some of the things, if not all of them. You have notes in every single area, and it's maybe you just want to hear yourself think. Maybe you want to refine it a little bit. Maybe you just want an external opinion. That's what that is for. However you found this content that you're listening to, there will be a link there for you to go ahead and schedule that chat with me. And again, I'm super, super simple to find at trudybearman.com. I appreciate you being with me today. I'm going to be doing this again on January 2nd, that's Saturday, January 2nd at 2 o'clock. If you are on this call, you don't need to be on that one, but if you want to hear it again, by all means, jump on and listen again. And we'll see who shows up there. Once I've gotten them both done, I'll probably merge them into just one show because it's redundant to have it there twice. I don't know. We'll see for those who want to come behind and listen after. So that's it for today. Let me just run over real quick the 6 points. Guys, again, today we're talking about creating your 2016 business blueprint. I am Trudy Bearman, and we talked about finding your go-to point. That's like your true north, something that's going to help you stay focused when the winds start blowing. You want to have a mission statement. You want to have a vision statement. You want to have values that drive your operation. And you want to determine what your core product, program, or service is. This is what everything is being driven to. However they come in through, whatever door they come in through, ultimately you're driving that audience to this core product, program, or service. Then after you have all that very clear, you know what you're driving people to, you know what the end goal is, then you create your action plan. And again, feel free to connect with me. And I do look forward to connecting with you, Trudy Bearman here. Thank you for joining me. And unless, let me see, let me pop over one more time. Nope, looks like we're good for tonight. Thank you all for joining me. And I look forward to scheduling my time with you and helping you tighten up your plans. Bye.